Welcome to Season 4 of the Self-Care 101 podcast, hosted by life and business coach for rebels and changemakers, Pooja McClymont. This season is all about deepening the relationship we have with the self, because in order to truly succeed at life, we must know ourselves first. Thank you so much for listening today. Hello, it's Season 4, Episode 10. I wake up around 6 o'clock every morning. Now I need to be awake at least an hour before everyone else in my house wakes up. I need this time because I need to wake myself up. I need to say my thank yous and prayers. I need to check in with my physical body, the aches and pains, to do some stretching, contemplate, and make a plan for the day. Now it's taken me 10 years to get to this point. 10 years of practicing self-awareness, of learning about myself, my needs, and then creating new habits to accommodate them. So I'm not saying that's what you should do tomorrow. I am saying though that it is something we should all do at some point when you can. Because what's most important to me is that I manage my stress, my time, and my joy much better. I want to live a fulfilling life now. I don't want to wait until all the pieces have come together, because when I tried it that way, I was burning out. I had a breakdown and I was severely depressed. So I want it now. And in my own little way, by creating that hour of solitude each day, I honour those needs and begin each day with calm and joy in my heart. Well, usually each day. I am realistic. Life does happen. Nothing will ever be what we think is perfect. I think perfection is the acceptance of imperfection as perfection. But if that sounds ridiculously difficult for you, I have something else that might make it a little easier for you to start and end your day really well without having to create gratitude lists, endlessly journaling and desperately manifesting. And it's a simple tool called What Would Make Today Good, Great, Amazing. And my lovely listener, if you enjoy the Self-Care 101 podcast, please can you leave a review on Apple or Spotify? It really helps the show get discovered by other people and it lets me know that it helps you too. Okay, let's do this. If I could wave a magic wand today, it would be for you to wake each morning feeling calm and excited for the day ahead. Now, how often do you feel like you're on autopilot? How many days go by and you can't even recall what happened that day? How much dread do you feel before you've even left the house to begin the day? Are you even leaving the house? We were given a really rare opportunity to pause during the pandemic, but did you? And how much did you take on board? How much did you self-reflect? And how much did you change in your life? Now, most of the people that I've spoken to say that they think differently now, but when I look at their lives and I listen to the words being said, doesn't actually sound like anything has really changed. They still seem to have the same fears, work in the same jobs they hate, and live very busy lives. I don't have many friends who live simple lives, so my social life has reduced significantly since the pandemic. Now, at first, I was a bit troubled by this. I thought, well, you know, I haven't got any friends. But actually, over time, I've realized that it's okay. It's okay. I have to be okay in myself and my health first, and then everything else can come after. But it's hard. I know it's hard, and changing your life to be what you want it to be is not easy. So I want to offer you today, a very simple tool that I use a lot myself, which helps set the tone for the day without overwhelming yourself to do all the expected self-development markers. Because let's be real, when you start to embark on a self-development journey, you can be overwhelmed by the sheer magnitude of what needs to be done and where to start. So I want to make this easier for you. If you are overwhelmed, if you can't stick to journaling, if you can't stick to meditation, if you can't stick to yoga, if you can't stick to going for a walk every day, if you can't stick to healthy eating, it's okay. We've got to start somewhere. So try this tool today. Now, this tool is simply to ask yourself every morning, what would make today good? What would make today great? And what would make today amazing? Now, each adjective has a meaning that relates to your stress levels, your self-esteem, and your self-worth. Knowing this, you're going to be more able to move through each day with ease rather than consume yourself with feelings of inadequacy. Now, this activity is intentional, so it aligns with helping you move through your challenges. Now, what am I talking about when I say easing the feelings of inadequacy? How many times do you get to the end of the week and go, I can't believe it's Friday. I can't believe it's the weekend already. Or now, like we're at the end of the year, I can't believe it's already Christmas. When you're doing this, you're not being intentional with your days, right? So nothing seems to add up. You're kind of going on that autopilot and living your life like, I guess unconsciously, you are living your life unconsciously. You know how they say that it's like riding a bike. Once you learn how to ride a bike, you never forget. It's the same with driving, walking, things like that. We end up living our lives unconsciously. The same meal plans, right? The same routine for dropping the kids to school and picking them up. The same friends you go out with. The same things that you do with your friends. Same types of restaurants you go to. We become unconscious. Which basically is a type of laziness, but it's a laziness from a purposeful perspective. So it's not laziness as in you are lethargic and you don't do anything interesting. It's a laziness from an unintentionally lived life. And I know that sounds harsh, but I don't want it to be received that way. I want you to think about intentional activities you can do to make your day better. You know, if you exercise every day, you're going to feel better about yourself. So why don't you do it? Purpose isn't strong enough. You know that if you meal prep, your week's going to flow better. But sometimes you don't and you're not feeling it. And that's fine. That's understandable. Have a plan B. My plan B is oven food. But have a plan B. Being intentional is really important because that is what is going to help you move through your challenges with much more ease on a day-to-day basis. So if you take any of my tools and do them long enough that essentially they become second nature, then I suggest you add in another. I usually start with a walk with my clients, and if that doesn't work, then sometimes it's just a mindful tea or coffee in the morning, you know, where you give 10 minutes to yourself, you just have that coffee, you don't talk to anyone else in your house, you definitely don't look on your phone. And then once they've mastered that, we move on to something else. Because that is the key to change, small incremental changes that add up over time. Now, in this tool that I'm going to share with you today, you are replacing dread, stress, and anxiety with calm, purpose, and motivation. Not bad, huh? Just in this simple, simple tool, you're going to replace dread, stress, and anxiety with calm, purpose, and motivation. So let's dive into the three words in this order. Good, great, amazing. Now, there are so many variations of what your day could look like that it was actually quite difficult to create an example that would resonate with you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my own example. So what I actually do in my day, and then you can adapt that example against your own day. So I run a business. I also run a home. Sometimes I run my husband as well, and I run a child. Now, for work every week, I have got a number of tasks that need to be completed so that I'm on top of my marketing. Now, if I don't do any marketing, I can't get clients, which means I don't get paid. So in a simple version for yourself, if you don't do your job, you're going to lose your job, you won't get paid, etc., etc. So it's really important that every week that I am actively promoting myself. Now, at a minimum, bare minimum, This includes recording an episode for the podcast, writing my weekly email to my subscribers, posting at least 3 times on social media, engaging on other people's posts, and connecting with at least one person more personally. Now, each week in my personal life, I plan the meals, I do the food shop, and I cook. I ensure washing's done and it's ironed. I ensure that my home is clean and tidy, and I accommodate for anything in the calendar like birthdays and stuff. I also ensure that I book my exercise classes, I sleep well, and I watch the TV shows I love, that I read every day, and that I spend time with Micah and Dwayne. Those are the top line non-negotiables for both my work and my personal life that happen every week and that I also want to happen most weeks. The work stuff I could get more organized with, let's not lie, but the personal stuff is a non-negotiable. Now, I usually do my meal planning the week before. So what happens on a Monday is that I just get to focus on my work. My to-do list kind of looks like I go to my workout, I have a shower, I get dressed, I write a podcast episode, I'll plan social media posts, write a blog post, write the newsletter, and try to get ahead with marketing. That trying to get ahead with marketing is a bit of an endless loop, I'll tell you. Anyway, depending on how I'm feeling on the Monday, because sometimes I'll get through a couple of those tasks or I'll get through none of them at all. So if I've had a weekend of high intensity, say we had lots of things to do socially on the weekend, come Monday, I actually need the day for myself. I can't push through and do work. I need alone time. I need, what's the word? Like rejuvenation, right? I need to read. I need to sing. I need to shake it all off from the weekend. And so in a sense, I rest on the Monday and then I'll work on the Tuesday. Now, obviously I have that flexibility because I'm a business owner. You may not, but you may want to do your more simple tasks if you're feeling that way come Monday rather than try to do all of it and everything. Now, I honor myself better. Right. And this is obviously a learning that I experienced from my burnout. So I don't push through anything if I'm not feeling it. But on a better day, I'll decide what would actually make the day really good. It's funny, actually, that I use the word good because in my coaching practice, I don't really allow my clients to say I'm good or that something was good. I just find it a very bland adjective, but it's kind of like the baseline, right? So let's be good. I don't like the word fine as well. It's another kind of meh word, but good is a good starting point. So what would make today good is about being satisfied with what you've completed. So in the example of the podcast, because the podcast goes live on a Wednesday, if it's recorded on the Monday, I'll be satisfied because that's one major task done. So that's essentially what I aim for. It takes about 2 hours to produce an episode. So that's from writing it, that's recording it, editing it, uploading it, creating any of the promotional assets for it. It takes about 2 hours in total. So it's a very satisfying task when it's all complete. Now, I'm realistic, right? And my day could be turned upside down by any number of things. Last week, my son was ill, like sporadically throughout the week, he was ill. So I was basically all over the place. And what I ended up having to do was to steal pockets of time in order to get my work done. So that one task of recording the podcast, if I get it done on that day that I set out to get it done and I say this would make today good, I'm going to feel satisfied and then I'll know that I actually did have a good day. Now, what would make my day great? Well, for a great day, I'll record the podcast and I'll complete something else on the list like the blog post. Now, writing takes time. Okay, and it requires a lot of creativity to flow. So I have to get myself in a zone so that I can write well. Now, I enjoy it, but sometimes if my mind is really, really distracted, it is hard to write. You can think about this from a perspective of writing a report or creating a strategy for something. If your mind is really cluttered, if you're worrying about personal stuff and you're looking at social media or you're getting distracted by emails, it's really hard to focus in on the strategic, like the stuff that needs your brain to really think about. So what I tend to do is I'll check in with myself, and when I do that, I'll know if I'm up for writing or not, right? And say, for this example, I am up for writing. Usually when I do a podcast, like when I create the ideas for a podcast, I'm in flow. So then writing anything like a blog post or an article, it's a lot easier. And then what I do is basically the two tasks, they get paired up. And then to make the day amazing, right? In order to make the day amazing, so this isn't a week, this is just one day. If I record my podcast and I complete all the assets and everything that goes into creating a podcast, I've had a good day, I'm satisfied, big tick off the to-do list. To make it a great day, I'll also write a blog post. And if I get a blog post and a podcast episode done in the same day, I am winning. Then to make it amazing, I'm also going to complete my email, my weekly newsletter email, which goes out on the Sunday. So if I'm completing that on the Monday, I'm smashing it already. Now, what I do in that email is I usually include the latest podcast episode and the latest blog post that I've written. So this task, again, makes sense to be together, right? They work in tandem. So if I get all three tasks done, then categorically, that day was amazing. Now, I don't need to go so hard the next day. If I get all those three tasks done on a Monday, I don't need to go so hard on the Tuesday. I can do the simpler tasks, maybe writing social posts, maybe engaging with people, maybe reading, maybe doing some of my coursework. Or even more personal stuff like reading for pleasure, right? I know we often forget reading for pleasure, but that's a good one. Now, for each marker of good, great, and amazing, I'm also going to add a personal one because our lives are not in a silo, right? So a good day personally would be to go to an exercise class, right? If I have gone to my exercise class, I have had a good day. A great day is going to my exercise class and doing a load of washing. An amazing day is going to exercise class, doing a load of washing, and then doing something fun with Micah or having a chat with Dwayne. Those things make my day amazing. Because let's be honest, we do coast through life a lot, right? And like I said earlier about unconscious behavior, and we might only have functional conversations, brush your teeth, what are we having for dinner, what time do you start work, things like that. We don't necessarily engage in our relationships as much as we probably thought we would do. So those are really like important markers for me, and therefore what would make my day amazing. But you see, each one is incremental. So whether it's good, great, or amazing, I will end up with feeling pretty good about myself. And whenever you do the good, always make it something that you would be satisfied with. And it doesn't matter what it is. It's basically the things that are really niggling at you or annoying you, or, oh, if I just got this done, I'd feel better. It's that task that will make you feel satisfied. So don't overreach either. Be realistic. That's the whole point of this exercise, to be really, really honest with yourself, check in with how you're feeling. If you're not in the mood to write strategy, then that's not going to happen. So that would make your day great rather than good. But what might make your day good if you had to write strategy was listing out the bullet points or the things that you wanted to include. Now, I've given you a lot of detail in my examples because the details actually really matter. Okay. So when you're more self-aware, you'll know how you work best, when the optimum time of day is for you to do something, and how much time you're able to give to it. Then you'll learn what helps you to get through each day, right? And then start cultivating a more purpose-driven lifestyle for yourself. Being mindful, really, really mindful of who you are and how you are, is going to make living a fulfilling life much more tangible. So when you do an exercise like this, and especially if you write it down, you've got something to reflect on. So come Friday, even if you're feeling, oh my God, where did that week go? You can look at that list and go, oh, it went on creating this, it went on doing this, it went on doing this, and I did this. And as you look through that list, because it's not a to-do list, it's a what would make this day or week list, it's positive. And positivity is what's going to feed our self-esteem. Positivity is what's going to fuel our need for knowing our worth and how much we do and how much we enjoy and where we might want to tweak things. I was recently on a discovery call, and if you book a discovery call with me, you have to complete a couple of questions. And in one of those questions, this potential client wrote, I'm always really busy and I'm striving to be great in my career, but where am I going? She literally wrote that, but where am I going? I'm good at what I do. I want to do better. I work really hard, but I don't know where I'm going. And I really couldn't get the sentiment out of my head. It's still in my head. And essentially what she was kind of coming to was that she was busy for the sake of being busy. Because if she's busy, that's surely what you're supposed to do. If you want to climb the ladder in a senior leadership position, or if you're a business owner, you know, she really felt the need to always be busy. And I really, really it really resonated with me. In a sense, we think that being busy equates to somebody who works hard, you know, and it's the blood, sweat and tears kind of hard, and they're the ones who are going to succeed. But actually, it doesn't matter the pace of your work, you're still going to shed blood, sweat and tears to succeed. Because the blood, sweat and tears essentially are based on how much you want the success you want. You know, we can see on social media, oh, you should work like this and you should meditate and you should step away and you should do this. And I know I've said it myself too, but you're never gonna stop thinking about your work or the thing that you're trying to achieve. And that's absolutely not the point of meditation. It's to actually consider and accept all those things, all those success markers that you want to achieve is fine. But at the same time, acknowledging that you need a moment, right? Or you need to check in, or you need to decompress. But you're still going to work hard, because that is essentially what's going to get you to where you want to go to. And there's nothing wrong with that. You've got to find a way for it to be busy that is productive, not busy for the sake of being busy. Because if you are busy for the sake of being busy, you're on the path to burnout and depression and other problems. And I don't want you to have those. But being busy almost seems like a rite of passage to so many people. So you might be busy with work. You might have a busy personal life. Now, if every area of your life is busy, and you're feeling stressed out and you're feeling out of control and you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling frustrated and you're feeling angry, all the negative emotions, what you're not doing is creating a life of joy, happiness and fulfillment. So something's got to give, right? Something's got to give. Something I say to a lot of people who are always busy every weekend, I'm like, why don't you just stay in your house? Like, you spend so much money on this house that you essentially live in, but you don't want to be there on a weekend. If you could adapt the mindset of, I only go socialize every other weekend, that in itself will make such a difference to you, because you've got to think, right? Throughout your week, you are giving, right? All of us give to work. All of us. We give to work in the first instance. Then we might give to, you know, the people that we care for, children, partners, families. Then come the weekend, we're giving again to our social circle. Granted, you might take as well, but you're mostly giving. And you've still got to give to those other people as well in your life. You might even still give to work on a weekend or an evening. So it's really important to know if being busy for the sake of being busy is what you do, because that might be the clue to creating less stress for yourself. Now, there is this brilliant book by Tony Crabb called Busy, which is a definite must read if any of today's show has resonated with you. Now, I want to share some insights from the book that can help deepen your understanding of the importance of taking action in order to take back control of your day. So you don't get to Friday and think, where did that week go? Where did that year go? Edward M. Hallowell is an expert in attention deficit disorder, ADD, and he likens the experience of busyness to that of people suffering from ADD. That's pretty heavy. He says that people with untreated ADD rush around a lot. They feel impatient wherever they are. They love speed. They get frustrated easily. They lose focus in the middle of a task or a conversation because some other thought catches their attention. They bubble with energy, but struggle to pay attention to one issue for more than a few seconds. They feel like they could do a lot more if they could just get it together. They feel powerless over the piles of stuff that surrounds them. They resolve each day to do better tomorrow and in general feel busy beyond belief, but not all that productive. Does that sound familiar? Now, that description would apply to a lot of us in our daily lives, right? Being busy rather than focus on the big stuff. But if we do that, that's basically more like having ADD than being the super effective person that we actually aspire to be. But let's be honest for a minute. It can feel pretty good to be busy, right? You know the feeling. I know the feeling. When you leap from activity to activity and the adrenaline's flowing, it can be similar to the feeling you get from competitive sports, right? And there's also this chemical reason for busyness. When we get an email notification, we take a quick look at our phone or open another tab, the brain releases neurotransmitters. It actually does. And those quick fixes give us something like the dopamine effect, which is provided by addictive drugs. Now, this means that aside from all the compulsion to keep on top, email and social media, they've become an addiction in themselves. Now, we've read a lot about this, we've heard a lot about this, but it's literally true. The brain is releasing neurotransmitters that give us that quick fix, that quick dopamine hit when we go from one ping to another ping. So busyness is not just a result of having too much to do. Busyness is also a buzz, and we are kind of addicted to the buzz, right? Badge of honor, maybe. So what I'd like to offer you is some different ways to boost your dopamine levels, right? Without resorting to more information and busyness. So you could do it through your diet, exercise. You get dopamine from exercise, getting plenty of sleep, and setting micro goals like today's tool of asking yourself what would make today good, great, amazing. Now, if none of those work, you could do some laughing, watch a comedy. Michael McIntyre is my favorite go-to comedian. Without a shadow of a doubt, I can put any of his episodes or clips on. Like, you can do it, like, just go on YouTube and have a look. He will make me wee myself laugh. So he's great. And you release dopamine. Or failing that, if you're other ways inclined, some sex. Now, I guess this all comes down to one thing and the importance of doing, I guess, this busyness overhaul is about the effect it has on our relationships. Now, I always wonder about people who are so busy to spend time with their children. I'm like, why did you have kids in the first place? You know, even sometimes when I'm busy and Micah might say, "Mummy, can we play a game?" And I'll be like, in a minute. And sometimes I have to catch myself and go, I'm not going to get these minutes back. The work isn't that important. Sometimes it is, of course, but it's still not as important as that child, that human being that I created, saying, "Mummy, can we please play a board game?" How much time is it going to take out of my life? 10 minutes? He gets bored anyway. So our relationships are going to suffer the most from our busyness. If we've got a high level of engagement with those who are important to us, our lives are good. And if we don't, our lives are bad. It is pretty much as simple as that. We cannot thrive without great relationships, and relationships can't thrive without time and attention. Now, even though we know how important this is, we all know this. Our relationships end up in the front line in the war with busyness, don't they? Right? Our relationships are the first things to go. I know it. Me and my husband, when Micah was littler, I was just busy all the time. Busy, busy, busy. I didn't have time for my husband. We didn't date. We didn't, you know, get busy. We were, just pardon the pun, but we weren't intimate, you know, because I was busy being busy. And then the relationship gets affected. Our nearest and dearest are always the first to suffer, especially by our physical or psychological absence. You know this. We starve those relationships of time, attention, and energy by giving it to email, social media, and that report that's just got to be done for Monday. We steal attention from those relationships because we can. What happens is we feel confident that they're going to understand, in inverted commas, that we have to do this work. Now, that "have to" is also in inverted commas because we don't always have to. And what happens is that we trust them to deal with the scraps of us, right? And we give them literally what's left of us after we've spent all of our energy, creativity, and focus in dopamine-fueled activity binges. That's not fair. That's not fair. My love language is quality time. And if I don't get it, I get really antsy. And if I'm antsy, I get frustrated and I have a short temper. No one likes Pooja with a short temper. So take a moment now to consider that last share. Close your eyes and relax. How important are your relationships? How important are your relationships? And with that in mind, consider what you really want from your life, what you really want from your daily life. Now, using today's tool can be a great first step in making those feelings a reality for you. Take some time now to reflect on all of that. Remember that this is a judgment-free zone. If nothing comes to you, that is okay. The reflections can appear over the coming days. Enjoy this moment for yourself to soak in today's conversation. Thank you for listening to the Self-Care 101 podcast. If you love the show, I'd be so grateful if you would leave a review on Apple Podcasts or a rating over on Spotify. For some weekly wisdom, you can sign up for my Frankly Unstoppable email edit at the link in the show notes and learn more about my work at pujamcclymont.com. Talk soon.